When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to Bridge the Atlantic. We're your hosts, singer-songwriter and filmmaker Marcia Novelli.
And music web designer Ross Barber.
We're pleased to welcome music publicist and blogger Angela Mastro-Giacomo to the show. Angela is the owner of Muddy Paw PR and Infectious Magazine and has worked with a wide range of musicians. Angela also started Balanced Breakfast in Toronto, which I have attended, which is a weekly meetup which encourages artists to network by eating breakfast together. And she is currently launching more of these groups across the U.S. and Canada. We're excited to chat with her about her career so far and what advice she would offer to artists and aspiring music industry professionals. Hi, Angela.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thank you for putting up with me trying to say that intro. That was my third attempt. My first attempt. It was totally my first attempt, actually.
Totally. You're a seasoned pro, Marcio.
It's because you wrote it, Ross. If I wrote it, I probably would have nailed it. Okay, so let's get awkward. Tell us three things about yourself that everyone should know.
Okay, let's see. I really love chocolate. I'm super passionate. And my dog is definitely my best friend. And I'm completely okay with that.
I can relate to the first two. I don't have a dog. But I'll trade in your dog like for in place of
one of
my
your kids.
One of my kids.
Just one, well, both of them.
Okay, let's just leave it at that. Okay, so what do you say? You love chocolate. I'm with you. You're very passionate. I'm with you. And one of my sons is my best friend.
Well, River can't speak yet, so you know it would make sense that at the moment Skylar.
No, I think
that's
just better that if like in 20 years they look back and find these old like weird podcast interviews that Dad used to do, and they're like best friends and they're like listening to this, and then that just destroys them because it's like for the rest of their life. And I'm dead, and I guess in 20 years I don't know why I died in like some sort of like really. No, it's a really beautiful way that I went, or I just disappeared or something like that. And they're sitting there, and for the rest of their lives, they're going to try to determine which one I was referring to. This is the kind of like mild child torment that I like to put my kids through. Just the mild stuff. The stuff that lasts for like 20, 30 years, you know?
That's the
and Uncle Ross is going to have to pick up the pieces.
Yeah.
that's what it's going to be like. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, Angela, you started Infectious Magazine as a music blog and then branched out into PR. What made you decide to go down the PR route?
Well, I knew that I wanted to work in the music industry at that point, and I knew that I wanted to be self-employed. And I had been on the receiving end of press releases for so long that it kind of finally sparked in me that I could make a living doing what I loved, promoting artists, and kind of doing it differently than I felt it was being done. And so I took what I did and didn't like from all those years of receiving press releases, and I applied those practices to my own company. It was really just kind of because I wanted to keep helping artists, but I also wanted to feed myself, and that was a good path to be able to do that.
I love that.
Yeah.
So it comes from a very... I was just going to say, it seems to come from a very honest, passionate place.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, you know, some people get into careers for all different reasons. You know what I mean? And sometimes the idea that the drive for money is right up there, you know, or the drive for fame, or the drive for power, you know, and control. It doesn't seem like that's the angle you take.
No, I mean, this is not an industry to make money in, for sure. So that one's off the table. I'm
unless
happy just
like,
to be able to support
you have like
myself.
One of like two jobs in the music industry. There's like a couple jobs where you can make money, but that's just about it.
Well, and even that is quite a path to even get to that point. But.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, because you mentioned like one of the reasons that you started Muddy Paw PR is because you've been on the receiving end of press releases and you saw a lot of things you didn't like. Mm-hmm. We have been getting quite a few press releases Well, I say press releases in the loosest possible way. I'm going to say a few of the mistakes I think people make, but I'd love to hear some examples maybe that you've received. Obviously, naming no names.
I'm going to jump in here. I'm just going to say, when we receive an email that says, "Dear Sir or Madam,"
or "To whom it may concern,"
yeah, "we'd love to be on your TV show,"
or "we'd love to be featured in your magazine."
Yeah, that's what we got. "We'd love to be featured in your magazine." So yeah, you know, from then on, that's going to be a great relationship.
That's wrong.
Yeah, what are some of the terrible ones you've had?
I don't think I've had any that are that bad, thankfully. They tend to know that it's a blog.
Well, you're one step ahead of us there.
But the thing is, for me, I think I've become more jaded over the years, and which I guess it happens. Yeah, you get older and you're like,
Cynical.
Yeah.
Everything sucks.
So I have submission guidelines on infectious, and they're not terribly difficult to find. But one of the things that gets under my skin is when people don't pay attention to them. I kind of just trash them now. You know, if it's a, mm-hmm. if it's a PR company that I've worked with a lot, then it's an exception, for better or worse. But especially for bands on their own submitting, it's getting thrown in the trash. Because one of the guidelines is to have a specific headline. So I know right away if they've paid attention or not. If they haven't, then I feel like if you haven't bothered to pay attention, then why should I bother to pay attention?
Agreed.
Because
bloggers are not getting paid. And that's the thing that gets under my skin too with PR, and why I personalize all the campaigns for Muddy Paw, is because publicists get paid, bloggers don't. So I feel like it's up to the publicist to pay attention and do them that courtesy and like have that respect. So I think just personalizing it, for one, read the submission guidelines. Know the person's name if it's on there, and if it is, address them. A lot of people spell their names funny now, so like double, triple check it, make sure you're spelling it right. And then bands hate to compare themselves to other bands, but it really is crucial. If you just say, "Oh, we're a rock band," I'm like, well, that does nothing. But if you give me some, yeah. So, but if you say like, "Oh, we sound like, you know, this band or this band," and you give me something to work off, then I can go, okay, I either know pretty quickly if myself or my writers are going to like that kind of music, mm-hmm. and I can get it to the appropriate party.
Well, let's talk about Balanced Breakfast a little bit, because I've attended several of them. Not recently, since I've had my second little one. He's only 3 months, so I haven't gone since then, which thank you for understanding. But yeah,
You're dead to me.
But, you know, tell us about the adventure you're going on launching these across the U.S. and Canada. And tell us a little bit about how it started and how you've gotten involved.
When I was in San Francisco, I was really desperate to find friends, like, because, you know, you're a transplant, I work from home. So I was really interested in finding something to get me out of the house. And I had emailed this blog to try and just get a feature on there in general about Muddy Paw. And he said, "Hey, I run this weekly music industry meetup." And so that's how I got involved. And I absolutely fell in love with it. It's, you know, I don't particularly care for San Francisco, but their music scene is unbeatable as far as the community feel. And so when I left to move back home to Boston, I talked to the guy that runs it, Stefan, and I'd said, you know, "Can I start this in Boston?" And he was like, "Yeah, that's awesome." And the same thing when I moved to Toronto. And so after that, I feel like, I don't want to give myself too much credit here because I don't know what their plans were, but I feel like it opened the door for allowing it to expand past San Francisco and East Bay, which were the only two at that time. And so since then, now it's in, I think, 7 different cities. A bunch are in California. There's one that just started in Denver. I'm starting one in Nashville. So they've really opened up. And I decided recently to kind of travel the country and bits of Canada and, you know, start Balanced Breakfast and kind of assess the different music communities. And it's always really interesting to see how they are, you know, how different cities respond to that stuff. So that's kind of the big adventure I'm on. And I think Balanced Breakfast is, I mean, I love it. Like, I think it's such, I still have connections and make connections and get actual work and everything through San Francisco Balanced Breakfast. I haven't been there for like 9 or 10 months.
Oh,
so
wow.
Yeah, it's been a really great way to, it's good for career growth, and it's also good for, you know, personal growth and friendship. So if there is a balanced breakfast in your city, I highly recommend checking it out.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, for sure. Because, I mean, I think we talk about networking quite a lot on the show, and we don't really like the term networking, but it's a business douche term.
It's like, hey, Ross, do you want to come with me to go network? Let's go networking.
It's like, yeah, let's have a powwow.
A powwow. You guys ready for a powwow? That. Yeah.
But I mean, let's, you know, obviously we say the word networking, everyone knows what it means. So, you know, it's so important to be meeting new people, whether they're related to the music business or not. Like, obviously, preferably they will be related to music business, but, you know, you need to be making connections, make it clear what you do, what you can offer to other people. And, you know, I think it's great that you're still getting work from a balanced breakfast meetup that you've not been to in 9 or 10 months. It kind of goes to show that not all networking you do is instant. Like, you know, you'll make a connection, but it doesn't mean that something's going to come out of it straight away. It might be months later that someone goes, I remember I met this awesome girl, Angela, and she has pink hair, and she has a PR company. I need PR. And then they get in touch with you. And I think it's something that I was taught a lot when I was studying, was the power of networking. And we all were just so bored by the thought of networking, because we thought it was going to be a bunch of people go into a room, you shake hands, you give out business cards, and
yeah,
that
was networking. Well, there are some of those.
There is that, but like, that's what we thought networking was, but it's not so much now. You've got social media, you've got meetups like Balanced Breakfast that are more casual, that, you know, makes networking fun. And there needs to be more of that. So it's well, great. I think,
you know, I think that we need a different term for it. That's what I think it is, because networking to me just sounds so ingenuine, but, you know, with Balanced Breakfast and with, you know, us meeting and all these different kind of relationships budding and growing, it is genuine. You know, I think the difference is meeting people that you honestly click with.
Right.
You know, and sure, if there's a business relationship, that can blossom from that too, like, that's good. But, you know, the world's a big place. Don't work with people that you don't like. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think it's about meeting people that are decent people, but that you can also work with. So, like, what would you call it if you went out to try to make a friend? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if people consciously do that, but keeping yourself open to that kind of relationships, I guess. You know, so we need a new term. That's what I need, because
I mean, you're right. That's all it is, really. It doesn't have to be this big scary thing.
No.
It's just going out and making friends, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, there are all different levels of, yeah, exactly. There's different levels of friendship. They don't have to be your best friend. But,
no, of course.
Yeah, and like Ross was saying, I think that's a really good point about it being long term. And it's the same thing with PR. You know, I always tell clients, it's great if for the short term stuff, the placements, but the real value is in the long term of, like, people remembering your name and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing with networking. It tends to pay off when you least expect it.
Yeah.
Ross and I have had long conversations about how important it is for us to, like, our whole teams around us, our whole team around us. For me, I want to know them. I don't want to just work. Like, obviously, as you go through your career, you work with people, and okay, that didn't really work out for one reason or another.
Right.
But I like having people around me that I like, that I can just be like, hey, how's it going? Like, you can be friendly with too, and it's not just such a, you know, a business venture, because that doesn't work for me. Maybe it works for other people. For me, I think that's kind of the level they're at too. You know what I mean? You want to have these long lasting relationships where you're going on the path together. You know, that's true. I think that's where you're gonna, as an artist, I'm speaking for other artists. I guess it's like, you want someone who's gonna be there on your side, and not just because you handed them money. Someone who wants to be there by your side.
Yeah.
Because, you know, which I wanted to ask you too, okay, as a publicist, you know, when do you think a band's ready for it? And please, there's a lot of people who don't even understand what that is, what you do, and, like, why a band needs a publicist, and when they do. So please, go and tell
people. Okay. Yeah, I think people don't understand publicity at all, really. Like I was saying about the short and long-term goals, I think a lot of bands have this misconception that you just pay somebody and you get whatever you want. And I don't know if that's I don't know if that's an American thing or like it's where you can buy whatever you want. I don't know where it comes from, but I've had bands just, you know, they're brand new bands and they're like, we want to be on alternative press. And I'm like, well, it's a goal for sure, but that's not going to happen in this campaign.
No.
So I think having realistic expectations is for sure. But for me, a band is ready for PR when everything else is in order. So like having your socials in order is super important to me. And I don't even mean having a lot of likes. I just mean frequent updates, interacting with your fans, looking like you're alive. It's really, I mean, when a band submits for PR and even if it's been like a week that they haven't had a post, I think this band's probably not that active. So I would say, you know, it's not necessarily a deal breaker, but I'll say you have to be willing to put in the effort to be updating, you know, basically daily and interacting with people, and you can't be lazy about it. So I think it's important to have all that stuff in order, have a neat website, everything like that, and then have something new to push, because if you don't have
Ross to make your website. Sorry.
Good. Exactly.
You need something to push. You need something
to,
Yeah.
I mean,
that's the whole point.
A new album is, I think, the best thing, of course, but it can, I mean, we've done campaigns around like new singles or new music videos or tours. That's fine as long as there is something. And then bands also, they have this misconception. I've had a couple bands sometimes email me and I say, well, your album's been out for about a year now. And they say, yeah, but no one's really heard it. So we could just like pull it and then nobody would know. I'm like, no, it's still been out. Like that's not new just because you take it offline, you know, people are going to know. So yeah. And then the biggest advice I have is just kind of making sure you click with your publicist, and it's okay if you don't.
Absolutely. Hey, there's the first dog bark. We talked about this. She warned us about before the interview.
I did.
I don't think your dog agrees with you, or unless your dog is saying, that's right, you got to click.
Well, yeah, I'm not even sure what he's, that was such a weird bark. Cause normally it's like a full on, you know, bark. This is just a gruffle.
No, he doesn't like Ross. That's what it is. Sorry, Ross. It's just...
But I like him.
Yeah, you have to click with, you have to click with your publicist. I think, sure. You know, I'm sure, you know what? I'm sure there's a lot of artists out there that are working with, and vice versa, that are working with people that they don't click with, but maybe they're in a position where like things are just being done. I'm talking maybe on the major level, you know, major label level, things are just being kind of done for them. But, you know, it's particularly on the indie label, sorry, in the indie level, whether you're on a label or not, you're often building your own team, you know, and build a strong team that you want to have around you. You know, it's kind of like, remember when we were younger, I don't know if you ever heard this, but when you were younger, it's like people judge you not just by yourself, but the people you surround yourself with too.
Yeah.
You know, and that is kind of true to a point, you know, you do want to surround yourself with good people.
You want people who believe in you and... Mm-hmm. Like, I always, you know, and different publicists work different ways. I always have to at least like the music, but if I only like the music and I'm not super in love with it, then I have to be in love with the person. Like, I have to be in love with their passion. It's got to be one or the other, either in love with their music or in love with their passion. Because I understand that taste is subjective. So as long as it's decent quality and I like it, you know, if the person is more than half the battle, because I always tell my artists that they need to really let their personality shine on social media and stuff, because I really think that more than your music, people fall in love with your personality. And so super crucial.
Yeah. We're in the age right now where it's about, I think it can be the most genuine time of the music industry right now, because it's about being yourself and just letting that shine and amplifying that in social media. You know, it's not about being someone phony or fake or, you know, it's just be yourself. Amplify it, share it with people, and that's what it's about. I mean, so I'm gonna refer to Jared Leto now, Ross. I always refer to Jared Leto. He's always like, he always refers to Jared Leto.
Once an episode.
I do.
Episode.
No, once every three. No, I'm gonna use him as an example because he's someone who I think a lot of people are just fans, as myself, or admirers, I guess, of just him and everything he does. You know what I mean? And there's several people, like, you know, Brandon Boyd's another one for lead singer of Incubus. You know, he's an artist, he's a singer, he's a songer. And you become a fan of that person because they, not just because of their art, which it's one of the most important, but also just like you said, because they've put themselves out there, and you start to like them, you start to like what they believe in, what they share, you know, they're kind of, so it's really important to just put yourself out there.
Yeah, because you know? I find sometimes if I like someone's music, but don't love it, I get to know the person on social media, and then I maybe go back and listen to the music deeper. I listen to it in a different way than mm-hmm. I did before, and I'm like, because I feel like I know them, I feel like I've got more of a connection to the music now. And I do start to, it starts to move up from like to yeah. love. And then
absolutely.
I also want to buy their merch and I want to go to their shows.
I want to make love to them. Yeah, it's okay.
Marcio, don't reveal our secret emails. but no, it's happened to me so many times with artists that I've liked. But then when we've actually got into a conversation or I've seen the kind of stuff they post, I'm like, yeah, I totally agree with that. We're on the same wavelength. And then it just elevates things. And I don't think people understand like how much like showing their personality, as long as they've got a good personality.
Yeah, not if you're a racist, you know? Bigot, homophobe, then yeah, like, go away. No,
for everyone, right?
No. Yeah. But yeah, exactly. So let your best self shine through. And also I think being a little vulnerable is okay too, you know.
Oh, that's the best. Yeah.
That's what attracts me to a person, you know, when someone's vulnerable and they don't have this wall up and they can just be themselves, you know, and flaws and all, because that's what's beautiful about people. Yeah.
There's this artist, she goes her name's Charlotte Erickson, but she goes by the yes. last
she was our third guest.
She's so like she's that's who she is, right? She just puts everything that's out hilarious. There and it works wonderfully for her. Like she has
yeah,
done really well for herself as an independent artist.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
She and she's just super like, genuine. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you ready for 20 questions, Angela?
Okay.
Don't be scared. I don't think I put any...
Terrified.
Any... Okay. I'm going to start this one.
Yeah, sure. Maybe you should do that.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Meat or veggies?
Veggies.
Ooh. CD or vinyl?
CD.
Twitter or Facebook?
Facebook.
The Smiths or The Cure?
Cure.
Yoga or yogurt?
Yogurt. As a side note, yes. If anyone knows of yoga that doesn't make me feel like I'm joining a cult, I would love to try it, but I can't. I get so
yoga.
Bored.
Awesome.
I get so bored with it.
Really?
And like, and the yeah. But I'd love to do it. I just want to not feel brainwashed while I'm doing it.
How do you feel brainwashed?
It's just the way they're too calm and it makes me uneasy. Like, I just don't like it.
That's hilarious. Oh my God.
Breaking Bad or Orange is the New Black?
That's kind of a cruel question.
Cool. Oh man, I don't know. I guess I really liked Orange is the New Black first season, but I guess for the rest, Breaking Bad.
Have you seen the third season though?
I did. I wasn't. It was a little loose.
Ross,
it was.
Yeah, we really liked it.
Yeah.
It was better than the second one, I thought, but it was a little bit. There was a little bit that was too far fetched for me.
Yeah.
In that one.
Have you seen the show Wentworth?
No.
Check it out. It is amazing. It's along the exact same lines, but a bit more dramatic, and it's based in Australia. It is an Australian show.
The accent alone will make it more interesting.
Oh, yes.
So.
Yes. Toronto or Boston?
Toronto.
Indie or major?
Indie.
Lost? Or Orphan Black?
Oh, why?
Because they're both fantastic shit.
Oh, God.
Because I've been Facebook stalking you, and I know all the things you like, and I'm making you choose between them.
Which are apparently all the same things I like, which are is creepy. Yeah. So, like... Get in my head.
Yeah. I've got to catch up on Orphan Black, so I'm going to say Lost.
And because just, Lost is finished. So, you know, although in some ways, could you really look back at Lost in the last season and be like, that was just perfect.
No,
I still love the show. But
the first two seasons were strong enough to carry the mess of the rest of the season,
yeah,
I think.
There we go. Doctor Who or Sherlock?
Doctor Who.
Green Day or Blink-182?
I guess Green Day.
Celine Dion or Marilyn Manson?
Celine Dion.
Wow.
I liked her her song that I can't remember the title of now.
You're such a fan.
It was like, I remember the video, but I don't remember the name.
Describe the video. I might.
She was, it was dark. It was dark and she's like running through.
Oh, all the videos. It's all coming back to me now.
Yeah. I love that.
Coming back.
She's got a powerful voice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I love that you knew just based off the video.
I kind of had a feeling it might be that. Do you know that was written by Meatloaf?
Are you being serious?
And Meatloaf released it with a Norwegian singer.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know the original version, too, yeah.
He released it kind of more recently. Celine's version's better. Sorry, Meatloaf.
Oh, controversial.
In case he's watching.
Yeah. He watches every week. Yeah, I don't know if he's going to watch this episode, though. He's kind of got this thing against you, so.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Especially now.
Yeah. The Office or Arrested Development?
Arrested Development minus the last season.
Oh,
the,
I like
the Netflix one?
The weird one. Yeah, the newest one.
It was. Do you know why it was weird?
No, I couldn't finish it.
Why was it weird?
One of the reasons it was weird is because of the scheduling of all the characters. They basically all had completely different schedules, which is why they hardly ever are in the same scene together. They all had filmed individually.
But they wanted to make it work.
Yeah, and I thought it worked. I think you're probably like me. I liked it, but I didn't love it. And I would probably go back and watch it again, and I'd probably enjoy it much more the second time around. And I think maybe we both need to revisit it together.
I like that I know that, because it's a lot better than just like, what happened here, you know?
Yeah. Where does this go at least wrong? There's a reason for it, yeah.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson or Michael Bolton with his power grab?
No, I don't really care for either, but I guess Michael Jackson.
Really? You're the first guest on the show.
Really?
That has ever not been a Michael Jackson fan.
Most people are pretty, you know, passionate either way.
Well, even if they pick Bolton, they're always like, which has been like three times, they're always like, but MJ, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I respect him. I respect what he did, but I just don't really care about his music that much. I feel that way about a lot of, like, the Beatles, Bob Dylan. Don't care.
Right. Yeah. Really, no, I got you. I can relate.
I'm kind of with you. Yeah.
A lot of, like, the greats. And people are like, they're the best ever. I'm like,
yeah. Lots of respect, but just don't care.
I just don't really want to listen to them. Twerk or work?
Work.
Ricky
with
Gervais.
A W.
Oh.
What?
I don't understand.
No, I was saying work, but then I was like, that still kind of sounds like twerk, so I wanted to be clear that it was work with a W.
Oh, but twerk has a W too.
Oh, yeah, I guess it does.
Ricky Gervais or Ricky Martin?
I guess Martin. Yeah.
There you go.
Whale or kale?
Whale.
Bette Midler or the Riddler?
I don't know. I don't know enough about... I don't care about either of them. I guess they're Riddler.
The Fiddler.
I don't know.
We can do the Fiddler.
I like the idea of a Fiddler.
Okay, we'll go with Fiddler then. And the final question, which is the most important question you're going to be asking your whole life today.
Okay. Russ or Marcio?
I knew that was going to be it. That's an unfair question.
Uh-huh. We're aware.
But I guess if I had to pick, I would have to say Ross only because he introduced me, and it was the line. It was the chain. I would have never met you without Ross.
So you're only picking Ross because without Ross, you would have known me. So technically,
seems like
it's kind of more like me.
I don't care. I still win. So.
Ross always gets picked.
Is that true?
No.
We should probably give a tally. We have to go through all our episodes because I'm pretty sure it's like 70-30. It's okay.
They still love you.
No,
some
that's
of
fine.
Them.
That's fine. You can do the rest of the interview now.
I will say I like your room better because I really like the bright red.
Yes,
that's
awesome,
nice.
Isn't it? Yes, it's bold.
It's very bold. I used to have a wall like that.
Yeah, and if you saw part of my wall, it's like orange and like got squares and weird artistic things on there. So it's just like them whispering very quiet for some reason. Okay, so what have you been listening to lately, Angela?
I'm not super adventurous, so I tend to get stuck on the same three artists and just listen to them for a really long time. So I've been listening to a lot of Frank Turner and Andrew McMahon a lot.
Oh yeah, were you a fan of Jack's Mannequin?
Yes.
See, I was more of a fan of something corporate. I never got into Jack's Mannequin.
Yeah, we just said the exact same time, the opposite thing. Yeah. Never got into something corporate. Yeah, it was all Jack's Mannequin.
I heard something corporate was the first project of his I heard, and then I started getting into Jack's Mannequin, and then now his solo stuff.
Which is all him, anyways.
I know. It's all
just different branding.
Yeah, exactly. And then I also listened to the Airborne Toxic event quite a bit. And Marina and the Diamonds, I'm this is probably sounds terrible. I'm really picky with female vocalists. Like I have a very specific taste. But she is just brilliant. I just really like her. I saw her at Boston Calling, and it was one of those moments where I was like, I just fell in love with her performance.
Cool. Nice. I know she's got very interesting stage performance. I've seen a few clips of live shows, and yeah, they look very interesting.
She seems really genuine, though, and I think that's part of the reason I like her. She looks like she's genuinely having a great time up there, as opposed to it just being processed. So I like her.
Awesome. Very cool. So everyone can go find you on Twitter at @Angela_Mastro to find you directly. And if they want to check out your PR site, that's Muddy Paw PR. That's MuddyPawPR. And your magazine, your blog website, sorry, is infectiousmagazine.com. And also make sure to add Muddy Paw PR on Twitter. You're also on Instagram, the same...
Yeah,
and tags and Facebook
and Sawyer has an Instagram. Sawyer is my dog. That's why I named Muddy Paw PR.
Wow,
and it's just Muddy Sawyer on Instagram.
Are you your dog's publicist?
Yeah, someone has to be, right?
Someone has to be. If you want to know what I've been up to, go to marcinavalley.com. I have a new side project that's coming out called Midnight Soundtrack. I'd love you all to check that out.
And if you want to find out what I'm doing, you can visit electrickiwi.co.uk. A couple of recent sites that I launched. I've just worked with an artist called Omnia Higazi. She's awesome from New York. So her website is omniahigazi.com. And I've just worked with an Australian artist called Mark Seymour. And you'll find his site at markseymour.com.au.
Awesome. This has been so great, Angela. Thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been our pleasure. Well, maybe it wasn't Ross's pleasure. It's been my pleasure. Maybe
Ross's it's been very pleasurable for everyone, I think.
Okay.
It just got weird, but okay.
You know what?
No, it got weird ages ago. It got weird when Marcio and I first met. Like,
this is true.
That's
keep the weird alive.
That's
what we do.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Bridge the Atlantic. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes.
You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so connect with us on there and let us know what you think of the show.
Thanks for being awesome, and we'll see you next week.
Think of your favorite one-hit wonder.
Or that overpriced toy your parents would never let you have.
Or that TV show that no one else remembers because it was canceled way too soon. Now what if we could fix it? I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And after 20 years of friendship, we are now hosting a new nostalgia podcast called Let Me Fix It.
Each episode, we'll dig into our favorite celebrities, shows, and brands of yesteryear, and then imagine what it would take to repackage them for relevance today.
Think of our show as an intervention, but with way less stakes.
So subscribe to Let Me Fix It wherever you get your favorite podcasts.